think many of you will be aware that my wife and I had the privilege to visit the Holy Land. Let me tell you, it was an experience that we were actually waiting for. And I think it was very powerful, and not only to see the place, but to be and to hear that these are the places where God or Christ ministered. And so it was a very powerful experience for us. No? You know, I think each and every day, my wife and I, we were just reflecting, you know, the places that we visited, you know, we spoke about it, and we just rejoicing because God gave us the strength and the means to travel that particular place. And when I was there, I was just trying to think about these Israelites. You know, I'm looking with some people, trying to connect with them, even worshipped in a Baptist church over there. And so I was just trying to, you know, just get a sense of these people and also to know about their journey. And the more I think about it, you know, I realize, I think it's not an easy journey that they made. Right? It could have been an easy journey too, right? At the same time, it was also a challenging journey in the life of the Israelites. And so this coming 2 weeks, I thought I would just focus or give ourselves to Acts chapter 13 and Exodus chapter 13 and Exodus chapter 14, just to see how we can cross our Red Sea. I think all of us have Red Sea in our lives, right? And we want to cross, and how, and you and I can actually cross the Red Sea. Let's take a moment and ask God to be with us. Father, we thank you for another day, O God, that we can gather as a church. As people who love you, God, we thank you that we are not alone to cross our Red Sea. We have you, Father, as the pillar of clouds and the pillar of fire by night, to protect us and also to lead us and to make your presence known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you have experienced this. You know, for example, when you're in a hurry, right? You want to get to a particular place, and then something comes in between, right? There is a roadblock, right? Or maybe there is a construction that happens, and you cannot, you know, when you're construction, you better don't drive on the construction lane because you will be doubly fined, right? And so can you imagine? You are just heading somewhere. Everything is going on smooth. Right? It's a wonderful journey, and suddenly there's a roadblock, right? Or maybe it's not even a roadblock, you know, maybe there is a detour. I realize this happens quite a lot in Ontario, right? And even in Toronto, you are driving and suddenly you see the police car in front of the street. You have to make a U-turn, or maybe you need to do a left turn or right turn. And that's why I always have my GPS in front of me, because I'm still trying to get the roads, right, in Toronto. So can you imagine if you're just driving, things are just moving on well, right? Things are okay in your life, and suddenly there is a dead end. What do I do? Right? Or there is a detour that happens. I did not expect the detour in my life. I was not prepared for the detour. I'm in a rush. I wanted to be in that particular place in a particular time. Right? There is a detour in my life. And sometimes, you know, obstructions are there. Yes, you can move, but you know, you need to move slowly, right? You need to be driving carefully, right? Not in your own time, according to the time that is actually, you know, set over there. You know, even in Christian life, we do have, you know, things goes on well in our life. I do not know how many of you know, maybe you started the year, January was good, February was so exciting, March was wonderful, and then maybe slowly you realize, you know, there's some things coming along the way, right? Obstructions, or even in the month of July, then you realize, you know, where do I move, right? It's becoming a difficult journey for me. Can you imagine when you read Exodus 13, when Exodus 14, you know, when I was in Israel, and I was also thinking about these people, you know, they were in bondage for 430 years. Can you imagine? They were in slavery for 430 years. Many generations were in Egypt as slaves. They were born slaves in that many of the second or even third generation were born slaves. And finally, what has happened? Freedom has come. Can you imagine? I believe they were so excited. You know, they were thinking, probably, you know, every generation was just praying, Lord, just help us. Right? We are stuck in this land of bondage, of slavery. You know, we can't do things on our own. Lord, can you imagine? And finally, the day has come. Exodus 13 says, you know, Moses took the people out of the land of slavery. And I was just trying to imagine, that would be a celebration, right? People would be just excited. I remember my wife and even my two kids, when we were going to Singapore, we were excited, right? We didn't even feel hungry. We were excited to go back. You know, it's after 5 years of going back home. It's going to be, let it be 22 hours. I'm not bothered about 22 hours. Let it be 28 hours of journey. That's fine with me, because we're excited. We are just going over there. Can you imagine? That would be celebration. They would be just rejoicing. They'll be, you know, they'll be, kids will be just laughing. Parents will be telling themselves, you know, we will go to the promised land. We will buy a house in 16 and Woodbine. You know, we will build a house and then we will have a wonderful time. We will have, you know, we'll maybe start a business over there. So many things. Can you imagine? And then it says, when they were going, what was happening in verse 17? It says, the Lord said, I'm not going to bring them through a short route to Philistine. Because if they go through, in verse 17, if they go through, it is a shorter route, it's a shorter way to reach the promised land, but I am not bringing them that way. It's going to be a detour. Can you imagine? God, you told me, you know, I've been obedient to you. I've left the land of slavery, right? I've left and I've actually been obedient to you. I've loved you, and now you're saying, you know, it's a detour. It's an obstruction that is happening. So I'm going to bring you another way. And if you realize in chapter 14, it's another thing, right? Not only they were just having a detour, what was happening in chapter 14? You know, they were coming and they realized Pharaoh and 600 chariots were just coming after them. Right? Not only I had a detour in my life, it's going to be a long route. Probably it's going to drag on for some time. I thought I'll be there in 22 hours, but it's going to be more than 22 hours. It's going to be more than a year. And on top of that, in chapter 14, what is happening? You know, Pharaoh and the chariots, 600 plus chariots are coming after them. And they come to this Red Sea and they do not know what to do. Can you imagine? You can't go back home because Pharaoh and the chariots are coming after. They are surrounding you. And in front of you is the Red Sea. I do not know how to swim because I'm born as a slave in this land. I've worked as a slave. I do not know. I have not seen the sea at all. And this is something new to me. Can you imagine? They are stuck. There is no place for the Israelites to run. They can't swim. Can you imagine? It was so difficult, right, to be in a situation like that. I do not know how many of you are, you know, you've been obedient to God, you've been faithful to God, you know, your Christian journey, and then you realize not only God wants to bring you on a detour, right, on a different route altogether, but then you come to a dead end, right? You do not know how to cross the Red Sea. Do not know how to swim. And behind you is your enemy just coming after you. And you don't want to go back. You don't want to go back. You know, when I look at these two passages, I realize, you know, there are some things, I think sometimes, many a times, or, you know, God brings us on a different route altogether. Why? Let's look at this particular passage. I think God always have a purpose behind He always has a purpose for directing us on a different path altogether. Right? It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road to the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Because they do not know how to fight. Right? They have not gone for army training. They do not know how to fight. They were slaves. They were not warriors. They were not soldiers. And so what's happening here? I think God knew very well. If they went through the Philistine country, you know what will happen? The Philistines were much more stronger. They were much more stronger. They were very familiar with battles. They have gone for wars. They have had victories. And so they will eat these guys up. Right? Alive. And so can you imagine if they go into this Philistine country, what is going to happen? The Israelites will regret. They will say, you know, it is better for us to be slaves. It is better for us to be living in the land of Egypt. You know, let me be a slave. Let me go back in my life. I don't want this new life, the new challenges, unknown challenges for me. War, struggles, pain, hardship. You know, but God, I think, always wanted to have a different plan for their life. I think one of the reasons in verse 17, I think God wanted to train their faith or our faith, right? Because if they go into the Philistine country, you know, though it is a shorter journey, you know, they will run away. And so God wanted to train their faith. Let them know that, you know, the importance of faith, the importance of trusting. If not, they will be just trusting their minds. They will be trusting their experiences. They will be trusting their energy. You know, they will be trusting themselves. But God wanted them to trust, to depend on Him. And so God wanted to train their faith, my friend. Sometimes God brings us on a tour because He knows our faith, that you have left for Him. You have left the land of slavery, the land of Egypt, in obedience to Him. But God wants to make your faith much more stronger, much more firmer in Him. It's not because, you know, that He wants to punish you in any way. But I think God wants to train your faith. He admires your loyalty, but not only loyalty. He wants faith. He wants obedience. He wants to strengthen your faith. And that was happening here. Because if they went into the Philistine country, they will have faith in themselves. And their faith in themselves will just lead them back home, right? They'll run back home. They will flee. And I think that is one of the reasons I think God was concerned. When I look at the entire passages, 13 and 14, I believe the Israelites were just thinking of the product. You know, the product is what? The promised land. But I think God is not only concerned about the product, but I think God is concerned about the process in our life. If you realize, you know, even in our life, we want to achieve something. We want the product easier way. But God says, yes, I will give it to you, but there is a process involved. There is a training involved. I want to strengthen your faith. I wanted to help you in this journey. I just don't want to bring you on a shorter road, but I just want to strengthen, because God is concerned about every aspect of our life, my friend. And so He wants to train our faith. And secondly, if we look at the passage very carefully, I think He wants to test our faith. I was looking at another passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. If you read verse 2 in Deuteronomy, I know Moses writes this particular Pentateuch, and very interestingly, he uses this word. You know, he says, why God led them. Very interesting word, right? It is not Moses who led them. It was God was leading them, and God was leading them on a different route altogether, right? And then God wanted to test their faith so that they will humble themselves and not lean on their own strength. It's not my experience. Yes, it will help me, but it's not going to help me to achieve my product. But I want to be in God's process. So to humble me, right, to test, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it says to test at the same time. I think it also means, right, to test, in other words, to test my ability, to see whether I'm strong, right, enough to face Now, some of you know about my army training. You know, we go through stages, right? We go through stages. Not tomorrow, I become a soldier. No, no. You go through stages. Yeah, they train you every step. If you don't do it, you know, do it again. If you don't do it well, do it again. Right? Do it again. Do it again. Right? To test at the same time what happens. Right? It also says to know their heart. You know, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, it's not that God wants to know your heart, but the Lord wants you to know your heart. He doesn't want to know your heart because He knows your heart, but He wants you to know yourself, who you are. I think all of us know, God knows my faith, God knows Michael's faith, but God wants us to know your faith, who you are in terms of your faith in Him, in terms of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that, Lord, I have faith in you, but whether, you know, how is my faith towards God? I think God wanted to test their faith. And so that they will just depend on Him. And then I think they will know that they are ready to face battles. Not because I belong to God, you know, but I think God wants to make sure that we also know whether I really belong to Him. I think that was God's purpose of leading the people on a different route altogether. Secondly, when I look at it, you know, I also realize not only God's purpose, but that God has a plan, right? What is His plan? I think His plan is that we will depend on Him. That is God's plan. God's purpose is to test our faith. God is so concerned about the process. It's not about product. Yes, you will receive your product, but I think God is very concerned about the process. And in process, I think God wants us to depend on Him. And that is the plan of God. So they will be depending on Him. If you turn to chapter 14, right, you will realize, I think Moses answered the people, because in chapter 14, what's happening? They're crying to Moses, crying to God and also to Moses and saying, you know, why did you bring us here? We'd have actually gone back, right? It's okay for us to suffer and take the pain. It's fine with us, right? And they were crying. Probably they were cursing Moses. And the word also says that Moses also cried unto the Lord in chapter 14. And then he finally told what God wanted him to tell him. He said, you know, do not be afraid, right? Do not be afraid. Very interesting word. It doesn't mean that you suppress your faith, right? It doesn't mean that you don't have fear. You don't suppress your fear. It doesn't mean like that. Yes, we have fear. It's natural for us to have fear, right? When we are in a dead end where we do not know where to go. But then I think the way Moses uses the word, it's a command to be courageous. Be courageous, right? Be courageous. Right? Yes. Just trust Him. That's the meaning. I do not know what to do, Pastor Vincent. I'm just stuck. But Moses was telling them, just trust Him. I don't know how to swim. I can't go back and I don't want to go back. I'm surrounded. Just trust God. Just trust God. I think that's what Moses was trying to say. And secondly, right, and secondly, he says, you know, be calm. Stand still. If you realize when you're afraid, you run around, right? When you're afraid, you run around, and many a times you make a lot of wrong decisions, right? And you even hurt people. Yesterday, I was having a lunch with Ivan. So I was talking to him about the way when we were trained to swim in the army. It's totally different. Very interesting way, you know, they train you. The officer will ask you, do you know how to swim? And if you say no, they just push you into the water. They don't teach you. They just push you into the water. They want you to struggle. And they'll tell you, calm down. And if you struggle, you are struggling. They will ask you to just calm down. Until you calm down, they throw a pole to you, right? Because if someone is struggling in the water, it is difficult for you to save him. Because he will also, or he or she will pull you down into the water. And so many times what happens when fear comes into our life, you know, we make a lot of wrong decisions. We run around. Not only we run around, we hurt ourselves. We will hurt others too. And so Moses says, be calm. Stand still. Don't run. Just stand still. Just quieten yourself. And just quieten yourself in the sight of God. Because if you look at the Red Sea, it's going to be a scary thing, right? If you look behind, Pharaoh and his chariots are just coming. Just stand still, be calm, and say, Lord, it's you, right? It's you that I just give myself to you. And lastly, he says in this verse, like, be certain, see the deliverance of the Lord. The word here in the Hebrew text, it's future. In other words, I trust you. I do not know what's going to happen, but I know the Lord will deliver me someday. And see the deliverance of the Lord, right? You look forward, you expect God, and God will save you. Because if you're struggling and you are trying to do things on your own, right, and without God's help, and you know what's going to happen, the Lord says, no, I can't help you until you calm down and say, Lord, you take control. I'm just looking to you. I just need you. And to have faith, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, right, we walk by faith, not by sight. And see, expect, hope for, and desire that God will continue to lead you. Yes, my friend, sometimes when we come to a detour or even a dead end, sometimes we get confused. We take the wrong routes, right? But sometimes God wants us to be just not to fear. There might be a reason behind and says, just calm down. Let me take over the driver's seat. And then just move on, right? Go having faith in God, because you will see the deliverance of the Lord. And finally, you know, let me finish with this last one. You know, this God has a different path altogether. And when you look at Exodus 13, and I'm just going to jump 13 and 14 too. In 13, you know, when you look at the passage very carefully, you realize, you know, in Exodus 13, Moses is bringing the bones of Joseph. Why is he writing this? You know, we are walking, you know, and then he writes, you know, I'm bringing the bones of Joseph, right? I think the way scriptures are, you know, I think what the writer is trying to tell us, or even Moses, is, you know, he's the one who wrote Genesis, right, is to say, you know, God has promised to Joseph, right, that, and in Genesis, not only Joseph, I think God promised Adam and saying that, you know, your descendants will be buried in the promised land. And so when the writer writes, he's saying, you know, God is faithful to his promise. And in, if you read, what is it, Genesis chapter 15, you will realize that Joseph told the Israelites, you know, bring my bones to the promised land and God will aid you. He will help you and you will make sure that I'm buried in my promise, in the promised land that God has promised. And so God's path, it's always promising, my friend. Right? God promised Abraham. God promised Joseph. And the Israelites also promised. And God is faithful in his promises. His path is also forever sure in our lives. And secondly, we also realize the physical presence of God, the pillar of cloud and fire, right? That God was present. Can you imagine? So wonderful to know, you know, the cloud was there and they knew the presence of God was there. The fire was there at night, not only to give them light, you know, many times to guide them, and they were just enjoying the presence of God. And today we have the Spirit of God in us, present in our lives, just dwelling in our lives, my friend. I need not look outside to see whether the cloud and fire is there, but I just look inside and see, you know, the Spirit of God is guiding me, right, in my life. And so when I have the Spirit of God in me, my friend, God's path is much more clear, and I have that assurance, right? His presence is in me. And thirdly, I looked at the word very carefully. It's a very interesting word, right, in Exodus 14, 16. It says, they walked on dry ground. I was just trying to dig that word very carefully to find out. Very interesting. You know, can you imagine when God provides, He provides something which is you and I cannot imagine. The Red Sea, it became a dry ground. I looked at the word carefully. It's the same word that is used in Genesis 1:9. It's dry totally. It's not muddy, right? It is not. Can you imagine? You just, you know, remove the water, but you know it's still muddy. The clay is there. It is difficult to walk, right? You might not enjoy walking, but it's dry ground. And God did not just part the Red Sea, right? He did something miraculous that you and I cannot imagine, my friend. It's not just parting of the Red Sea. It became a dry ground altogether, like a desert. There was no water. Genesis 1:9 is the same word. It was totally dry. God did the impossible things, my friend. And when God's path is clear, He will do impossible things in your life when we depend on Him. When we say, Lord, just lead me. And when God provides, He provides every need, my friend. Philippians 4:19, that's what we read today. His provision is sure. It's not muddy, right? It's not so vague. It's clear, and He does it. I was reading, let me close with this. It's about a pastor in Toronto, but he's dead and gone with the Lord. His name is Oxford Smith, and born in Ontario, and he wrote quite a number of books. If you just Google, you'll see a lot of quotes about Oxford Smith. He was on fire about evangelism and missions, right? He said, if the church, the mission of the church is missions, right? If you're not doing evangelism, then there is no purpose for the church at all. If you're not, you know, reaching out, bringing souls into the church, then we need to question the purpose of the church or even our very existence. That's what Oxford Smith says. Very powerful man, man of passion and fervor. When he was young, he wanted to be a missionary. He was very passionate about spreading God's word to other parts of the world. He was so passionate. And so he went to the interview board. The missions board wanted to interview him, right? And so can you imagine, he was on fire. I want to go on missions. I want to bring God's word. I'm so passionate about it. And he went to the mission board, and the mission board turned him down. Maybe you might think, you know, the wrong fellows were there in the mission board. They turned him down. Can you imagine how frustrated Oswald Smith would have been? But he did not. The passion was still growing in him. And even when he came back from the mission board, he was just praying to God and say, Lord, I have that passion, and I know for sure you will always do something different in my life. God did something much more greater. God did not send him as a missionary, but made him through his church, right? That church was supporting or even sending missionaries during that time, during when he was the pastor of that particular church, right? Compared to any churches in the whole world, that church in terms of percentage or ratio was the highest sending missionary church at that time in Ontario. The mission board turned him down, but the passion was in him, and God redirected his life differently. It was much more greater And because of Osmond Smith, you know, many churches were formed. Many missionaries were sent by just one church in Ontario. Sometimes God takes us on a detour because he wants to do much more greater things in our life. At times he brings us on a detour, right, because he wants to test our faith, to strengthen our faith. And finally, he wants to do a greater thing. You know, after the journey, what was happening, you know, the Israelites were able to win battles after battles. Because God wanted to train them. Dear friends, I think we are going to pray, but I just want you to just think on this, right? Where are you in your life? Right? You might be thinking, you know, I've been so faithful. I've been so obedient to God, but, you know, God has brought me to a different route altogether. Probably to strengthen your faith much more firmer, stronger. Or maybe God wants to do much more greater things to you, like Osmond Smith. Right? But make sure your passion remains. There is always a tendency to go back to Egypt. Why did you bring us here, Lord? It's better to be a slave in that foreign land. No. If God is bringing you, maybe to help us or do much more greater things in our life. Let's pray. Can you imagine for a while if the Israelites would have said, we are going back. If they would have gone back, they would have continued to be in slavery. Maybe for another few hundred years. It's difficult to move forward. Maybe the Red Sea is in front of you. You're surrounded with a lot of opposition, a lot of challenges. The Lord says, have faith in me. Trust me. Just tell me, Lord, you lead, not me. Just be still. Because in those moments, we run around, we are rushing. Many times we make wrong conclusions in our life. The Lord says, just stand still. You will see. And have faith. Help me to lead you. Maybe God wants to strengthen our faith. Or maybe God wants to do much more greater thing. Let's just continue having faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we come into your presence, O God. Many times, O God, we do not know, though we are obedient to you, O Lord. We realize, O God, you do not want the Israelites to have a slave's mentality, but to have a soldier's mentality. You do not want them to live like slaves, O God, but you want them to live like soldiers. For you. Stronger, firmer, more powerful for Jesus. Lord, as the potter, shape us, O God. Mold us. Make us your vessel which is pleasing in your sight. And every moment, O God, help us to be faithful. Not to lose our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.